Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn, joined by Andy Holding, once again to look ahead to the action at Fairy House on Tuesday evening. Really competitive card to look forward to here. So hopefully we can bag you a few winners at tasty prices. Morning, Mr. Holding.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
Yeah, in good form.
Good. As I said, really open card this. Which you can look at one of two ways. One, it's going to be hard to find winners. Or two, if you do find a winner, you're going to get some good value about it.
I think there's plenty of juicy rewards to be had all night, to be honest. I think it's not a bad little card.
Mm.
Plenty of runners, I would say. Decent prices, no odds on pokes. Handicaps look tough. Good play spot card as well. I think, you know, if you can get perhaps one of the favourites out of the frame and then you get a couple of mythical results in the bigger field handicaps, then could pay nice for your quid.
Okay, you mentioned trying to get favourites out the frame. We'll start with the 505. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and the market leader at the time of recording is Tausif. Doesn't look like one of the horses that you'd imagine being out the frame, but can he poke his head in front, Andy?
That's the tough question, isn't it, to overcome. Will he be good enough to get his head in front? He's certainly the pick of the form, if you like, and the recent form as well, based on that run behind Emperor of Exmoor. This meeting over the Easter period. He's just a bit of been unlucky, really. I don't think there's anything malicious about the horse, and I don't think, you know, for 1 minute he's not putting it all in. He's just come up against a couple of horses who've probably got a little bit more touch of class, and also they're a little bit more physically stronger than him as well. If you have a look at Tausif, when you're watching him today, if you back him, he's not overly big. He's a typical sort of flatbred type, and he's had one or two chasing types kind of dwarf over him. That's probably the reason why he's been getting beat in soft ground races, where it's sort of stamina and power to get through that ground has been the key factor. If he runs anywhere near the level of his last two runs, he should be good enough here. You'd have to suggest he's around about 7-4 this morning. That's probably about a fair reflection of what he's been running against and what he's capable of. If he's going to come unstuck, well, it might well be something like Indian Roadrunner, which may cause him the biggest shock. I thought it was a decent run by Shane Crawley, 6-year-old, on his first start over hurdles after a couple of good bumper runs, including a win at Kilbeggan. He jumped adequately and stayed in quite well behind O'Manley. Black Spot on, of course, the second horse has won since over hurdles and on the flat. And Doobie Doing also, who was in that race, has won a handicap. So it's not a bad little bit of form. It's around this track as well, which is obviously very handy. And he comes here off the back of a break, but he is quite good fresh because, of course, this time last year in May, he won first time up. So that isn't too much of an issue either. And he can be back to sort of 10-1 this morning, Indian Roadrunner. So you've got a couple of options, really. If you're brave, you go with Tausif. Or if you're a little bit more of a coward, if you like, then you go each way with Indian Roadrunner.
Okay. And which one, if I was going to push you?
Oh, I'm always the coward's route.
All right, okay.
Always each way.
Okay. Each way maggot there, Andy Holding. Right, Indian Roadrunner the pick. In the 505, next up the 540, it is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Ridiculously open, this one. You can give chances to almost everything because it isn't the strongest contest. But where's your eye drawn here?
Yeah, if this race is on Saturday and in the Scoop 6, I think most people will be ducking for cover here. This one's a real nasty one. Interesting, there's money for Gretzky this morning, a horse that regular podcasters at Dundalk will know quite personally, almost. Matthew Smith's charge often saves his best form for the 5% for the poly track at Dundalk. His last run was beyond touring legend in a mile and a half race, so he comes in good shape. Certainly fitness won't be a problem. He's rated 87 on the all weather, and a rating of 87 transferred to jumps of a rating of just 93 could be very dangerous here. The ground should suit him. It's just what kind of, you know, chance you're giving back over hurdles, for which at the moment he hasn't shown too much form, but I think he's a better horse than probably what he was a couple of years ago. So he's a player. The one I quite like, however, is Hareth from the Charlie Son stable, gelded by Jeremy, as his sire suggests. He should be good over hurdles. He's yet to really hit the heights that sire and off breeding line suggest, but there were glimmers of hope last time out at Ballinrobe in his first run after a while on decent ground and in a handicap, where he gave the impression that there is going to be a fruitful time of things to come over the summer period, when he stayed very eye-catchingly behind Catching Time and Noble Call. Catching Time had first run and finished second. He was well backed on that occasion, Philip Rothwell's charge. But I thought Hareth was probably the best horse in the race there. He just got done by track craft and not a particularly good position coming out the back straight, which is vital, of course, at Ballinrobe. If you're not in the first two or three, ran in that top turn, you're in trouble. And that's exactly what Hareth found himself in. But he ran on to such a degree on the run-in that I marked him up as a future winner when he gets a more galloping circuit. Lo and behold, a week or so later, he's at Fairy House, which is, of course, a galloping track. So hopefully Hareth here, round about 8, 9 to 1 each way, could do us a nice service or two in that 5:40.
OK, next up is the 6:10, handicap hurdle over 3 miles. Another open race. Vasco de Mi heads affairs at the time recording at 9-2, but wouldn't be surprised if something else has surpassed that one by the time that they jump. One horse I was interested in here, Andy, is one that I backed last time and was just edge out of a place at a big price, and that is Forever Gold, a horse that does like it around here but doesn't win all that often. What do you fancy here?
Forever Gold. Good shout.
Good.
Yeah, he's man up of the night. He's man up of the night here tonight. I really do fancy him tonight. Particularly now he's dropped down in grade. He couldn't win last time out. He was out of handicap in a very good race. It was a strongly run affair. It was won by lots of memories who I fancied big time last week at Punchestown, and still can't for the life of me believe how he managed to lose that race. I think Shane Butler wasn't one of his finest hours. And, you know, he got beat by a couple of good horses, proper grade one horses. So, you know, he was up against it, lots of memories. But he proved that handicap and the speed figure of that race was very good. Unfortunately, the second horse, Armand Zebo, couldn't replicate the run of lots of memories, because I think he broke a blood vessel early on in his race a couple of days after, and those of us who backed Michael Horrigan's charge never got a chance of getting our money back off him either. But I think the form's pretty good, particularly if you judge you know, the winner on his subsequent exploits. He is just the one pace Forever Gone. That's probably why he hasn't won a race, but if ever he's going to win one, this is it. He's hugely down in class on that run. He ran well the time before over fences. And this is the kind of race he can win. Don't forget, this horse is also fifth in the EBF final, the Irish version of the EBF final, this time last year, behind a horse called Cool Rog. So his two hurdle runs have been in top-class handicap hurdles, and now he takes on 0-123 company. So I think there's every chance that this horse, at the very least, will hit the frame. I suggest we get stuck into him. He should finish in the first four, and hopefully he might just get it in front.
Okay, I do like it when we team up on things like this, Andy. It's nice. And there has been money for Forever Gold this morning, 10s into 17-2. So Forever Gold to pick there in the 6:10. Next up is the 6:40, a beginner's chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. At the time of recording, the market leader is Arzenboy Premier of Gordon Elliott's, last seen in the Fred Winter. Gets a massive £18 from the whole field here. And he's certainly the sexy pick, if you like, in the race. And you've got a choice with this one. You can either go fully along with it and back it at 7-4, which could turn out to be a huge price. Or you could look elsewhere, as it does take a fairly hefty chunk out of the market. Which camp are you in, Andy?
The only thing that slightly puts me off Arzenboy Premier, it's nothing to do with what he's done over hurdle so far, because I think, you know, his three efforts have all been of a decent class. You know, that run behind Abyssal, and he got beat full length by the best juvenile we've seen so far this season. I thought Abyssal was absolutely phenomenal when he won at Punchestown on Saturday, thus rubber stamping himself down as a horse to keep an eye on when he goes into chases next season with his allowance, of course. It's the fact that Gordon Elliott's just had a really lean last couple of weeks. I highlighted it, I think, when I was doing a podcast the other day, and saying that one of Gordon Elliott's, who was favourite, might be under threat because the yard isn't in particularly good form. And that's the only reason I'm put off by Arzenboy Premier, not by his actually capabilities. Prima Vista also comes from a stable who had a very barren run through the Punchestown Festival, Niall Mead. He had a couple that ran quite well. Road to Riches, of course, being one of those. But again, I just can't back horses from stables that are just going through such a barren period, and obviously their prices are quite short. So I'm going to go with Vicious Lock here. Now, he's 11-2 with William Hill this morning. By the time you probably get this preview, many of the listeners probably won't get a chance to gobble up that 11-2, because I think he's a decent HOA bet here. He, of course, faces fences for the first time, but he's always looked as though fences will be his thing. And, you know, if you go back in his career, he's a former point-to-point winner, so he's been basically marking time over hurdles. It was a decent run the other day over this track in a very good handicap won by Dane King. We've already seen a horse come out of that win on the flat the other day. That was Sailor's Warner, won at Sligo. So, once again, I do think that form's all right. He was second to Art of Payroll a couple of starts ago. Fairy House and Desi Hughes' charge have been dining at the top table since. So his form over hurdles is not bad. He hasn't got too much to find with many of these on his hurdle form, and he's fitting well. So Bishop's Lock, each way, 11-2, gets a vote in that beginner's chase.
OK, Bishop's Lock in the 6.40. Next up, the 7.10, a beginner's chase over 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. And the market leader down at the bottom is Kaelin Annam, who's receiving weight in this one. Pageboy does look a live danger, though, for the Watchman team, who don't have many in this code, but that one certainly has to be respected. What do you like here?
Yeah, he's a nice horse, Pageboy. I always felt he was going to be an animal to be on the right side of in the summer jumping period. He basically likes decent ground, and he doesn't often get that. His two runs over fences so far have yielded a decent return, even though he hasn't really handled the ground. So I could see why there's money for him here. That third behind Mossatoff, fourth behind Felix Young, you know, these are grade one horses he's been up against, and he's had little or no chance. So Kaelin Annam, despite her sound credentials, will have plenty to think about with David Watchman's charge in the race. I think it is between them. Kaelin Annam, nice mare, isn't she? She obviously receives a sex allowance. She wants good ground, and this time of year she's fairly deadly. Of course, on top of that, we know that Jessica Harrington's horses are absolutely fine. She had two trebles last week, an unprecedented Punchestown Festival for Jessie. So you've got plenty of ticks in the right boxes, and of course you've got the main man on board as well. Probably no better jockey riding in the weighing room at the moment than Barry Geraghty. If anyone's going to get a beginner's chase or a novice chase around, it's him. And if she gets into a good rhythm and pings her fences early on, gets a bit of confidence, I'd expect Kaelin Annam to come through here and just probably get the better of Pageboy in that intriguing-looking 7.10.
OK, Kaelin Annam, the pick there in the 7.10. Next up is the 7.40. It's the penultimate race on the card. It's a handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've had a couple of short price favourites in the last two, and we're back to it being pretty open here. Knockin' Arrogan is the market leader at the time of recording and looks solid enough, but you could give chances to quite a few here.
You can, yes. Not for the faint-hearted this race. We'll start with Knockin' Arrogan, who got beat by my selection the other day down in Tipperary and gave me a heart attack, but luckily Marsham got the better of Knockin' Arrogan. And off the back of that, obviously a lot of people are expecting now Desi Hughes' shot to go forward and perhaps get his head in front himself throughout the summer jumping period. He does, however, go over fences for only the fifth time in his career, and up to now he hasn't shown a great deal over the larger obstacles. There have been bits and pieces of form or promise, but nothing more, nothing less. It's probably to do with the ground, which is the key to this fella. He's got, obviously, fast ground to run upon tonight, and off his mark at the moment, he could be quite dangerous, let's say. So we've dealt with him. He's not going to be the selection, although a danger to my selection. The fancy in the pick is embracing change here from the Robert Tyner stable. A real multiple winner in the point-to-point field, so his jumping shouldn't be an issue. He's had a couple of runs in under rules of late, and they've both yielded reasonable efforts as well. I like that second behind Refuse to Name, back in the depths of winter when the ground was bottomless. In the first-time cheap pieces, he ran all the way to the line and kept on quite willingly behind an informed performer at the time. The heavy ground would have done for him at Down Roar the next time. I don't think he wants a ground as bad as that. And I noticed that his last win in the point-to-point circuits came on decent ground at Drumahane as well, one of the best tracks in Ireland. So good ground very much in his favour. He's only rated 97. I think he could be better than that. He's 8-1. I think he's a decent each-way bet. Embracing change is the vote in the 7.40.
Okay, the final race that we'll look at is the 8.10. It's a flat race over 2 miles, and heading affairs at the time of recording is Marinero for the Martin team. Very much respected given connections and has been supported this morning. Also brings the best form to the table. So is this a good thing?
Should be, yeah. The only thing that would stop you backing this horse at a short price, of course, is lack of knowledge with the unraced horses in this race. That's always dangerous, isn't it? If you're backing a shorty, you might bump into one. But you know, on what he's done on the track so far, he's by a million miles the best horse in this race, and you could argue that 10 to 11 even money wouldn't look a bad bet if none of the other horses are fancied. That run last time out behind Investment Success was a very good one. They went a good gallop. The speed figure of the race was very, very good for a bumper. There was no hiding place. And even though this horse failed to deliver the goods at a short price, I don't think there was any disgrace in finishing third behind the Mullins runner. Draco was second, who was given a good ride by Sarah O'Brien, went a good gallop. And the rest of them were strung out like washing. So, you know, that was a fair return. He probably was entitled to need the run as well, maybe just to got caught out with lack of fitness as well, because they went to a gallop. His run behind Windsor Park has been highlighted many times over. That horse is obviously a decent horse trained by the Well Camp. So if he fails to deliver the goods today, I think there'll be one or two punters and closest to the connections of Marinera banging their head against the wall. Hopefully nobody will get a headache with this one horse winning the final race.
Okay, lovely stuff. Marinera the pick there in the 8-10. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck with all those picks, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Will do. Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.